beginning with verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion or no need sought for a second. Number 2, for finding fault with them, he says, well, who says? God says. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant, number 3, for this is the covenant that I will make with them, with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Number 4. And when he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete or useless. But whatever is becoming obsolete or useless and growing old is ready to disappear. Verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. But as much as he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better principles. But I ask myself and I ask you, well, who is this he's talking about? Who is this he? He says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, but as much as he also has a better mediator of a better covenant. And I ask the question again to you and to myself, but now, who is this he? Revelation 1, 7, and 18 through 18. Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So is it to be. Amen. Wonder who's talking here. I am. Say, I am. The Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and fellow partakers in the tribulation and kingdom and the perseverance which are in Jesus, who on the isle called Patmos, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, I was in the Spirit. I'm going to stop right there. I was in the Spirit. When you come into the house of God, you and I ought to be in the Spirit. Can I get a witness? I want to say more, but I got to stay with the subject here. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the 7 churches, of to Ephesus and Smyrna and to Pergamon and Thyatira and to Sardis, to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then, this is John talking, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the middle of the And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest was a golden sash. His head and his hair were like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Now pay attention. In his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Number 8. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Can I get a witness? The one who was dead and who is now alive forevermore was one who called himself the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That's who enacted the new covenant. I'm going to add this to it, and this is not in your notes. In John chapter 2, Jesus said to a group of people who denied his sonship, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. The new covenant. The new covenant is founded by a perfect mediator. The word mediator, masetas, means someone who stands between two parties and brings them together. The mediator is a negotiator, a middle person, a go-between. Number 9. This is Jesus Christ. But there is one distinct and unique difference between Jesus Christ and human mediators. Jesus is the perfect mediator. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's the perfect mediator. There's nothing missing in his dignity to represent you before his Father. He is the mediator chosen by God himself to stand between God and man. Let me make it personal. That's what's wrong with just reading the scriptures. He's the perfect mediator who makes it possible for you to stand between God and man. Can I get a witness? He represents the terms of the covenant completely. He does not lie, deceive, twist, change, add to, take away from, or misrepresent the terms of God's covenant. He spells out and proclaims the truth of the terms clearly and perfectly. He's the perfect mediator between God and man. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
First Timothy 2:5, brother.
Say it again, brother.
First Timothy 2:5.
There is one mediator between God and man, the man. Say the man. Many people think that Jesus is a spirit, but the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the resurrected Savior. Colossians 2:9. Says the following, in him dwells at home all the fullness of God in a human body. If that doesn't rattle your bones, nothing else will. To think that the one who existed with God and the one who had God's very essence died and rose again and became your perfect mediator is a time for shouting. I'm going to say it like an old songwriter. I, not put myself there, was on my way to hell. And he reached down and said, "You're mine." Got to get a witness. And whether you know it or not, maybe in not those terms, but he did it for you too. Hebrews 9:15. "For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Don't you know, Christian? Long before you thought about God and redemption, he thought about you. Listen again. "So that since a death has taken place," whose death? The Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose you'll get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I hope I can contain myself. Thank you, brother. Nails in his hands. Thorns pressed down on his brow. Spit in his face. "Ask him, now prophesy unto us." And he didn't strike back. He loved man that much. The Apostle John in 3:16 would say, God not just loved the world, God so loved the world. And I wanted you to put your personal name in there. God so, put your name in it, loved you that he gave his only unique son. Unique in every way. The very essence of God himself. I know I'm going to get tired of you. You're going to get tired of me saying it, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It is finished. You can't add one iota of good works to the perfect work of the Lamb of God. John would say, "Behold the Lamb of God that picks up and carries away the sin of the world." Can I get an amen? What would you do without Jesus? Where are you headed if it wouldn't be for the Lamb of God? When you wake up in the morning, you ought to be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your so great salvations, so rich and free." And when you walk out the door and you meet a friend, sometimes you ought to have a tract and say, "Do you know him? Can I get a witness?" I said this before, I was going to say it again. Adam knew his wife. He didn't have only an intellectual knowledge of his spouse, but he knew her personally. And that's how much God wants to know you. And hopefully you'll get to know him. Number 11. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, but a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. My little children, and I want you to know that word children. Can you say the word children? The children is the word technon. John was saying, my little born ones, I'm going to ask you a question, and some of you are going to disregard it, but that's okay. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Or as someone just told me recently, and it was so comforting to hear someone else repeat the scriptures, we're born sinners. We have a sinful nature, and therefore it is of necessity that you must be born again. Nicodemus, you know the rules, chapter 3 of John. You give your tithes, you say you have a fast, you do all these things that the law requires. But Nicodemus, you and those who you represent, you must be born again. I don't think it's hit some of you that we have a sinful nature. But when you come to Christ, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Has your life changed since you met the Savior and His covenant promises? Or are you still dead in trespasses and sins? And you're going to not like the next part. But the Bible says if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the mediator, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, if you're not born again, I started to use the word anathon, which means again. You're headed for a Christless eternity. Number 12. For now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as He also... There I go again. I need to slow down. But now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as He is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. The new covenant. The new covenant is found on better promises. The new covenant is a better covenant than the old because of the better promises. What is the old covenant? It is the covenant of the law. Let me stop right there. The Israelites found out that they couldn't keep the covenant. Why? Was there anything wrong with the covenant? No, it was wrong with them. If you're here today, and you're trying to give your best efforts, in a sense, you're under the old covenant. You're trying to do this. You're trying to please God in this way and that way. And God says, no. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in the way, in all the way, which I command you, then it may be well with you. The man discovered a terrible fact. The law was not full and complete enough. It did not go far enough in meeting his needs. Man discovered four terrible weaknesses. Number 14. The law laid it down that God was holy and that he expected his people to live holy lives. But the law did not give the inner power and strength to obey God. The law laid it down that man could become acceptable with God. But the law did not provide the power and the energy to become acceptable, nor to inherit eternal life. The law laid it down that God was sovereign and majestic, ruler of the universe, the great lawgiver. But the law said nothing about personal knowledge and fellowship with God. Huh. the law laid it down that God was holy. The law laid it down that man could become acceptable with God, but the law did not provide the power and energy. But the new covenant says this, and I know I said it before, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get an amen? I can do all things by your own strength, Brother Bruce. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 15. The law laid it down that God was strict and stern, just and holy. But the law said nothing about God's love and mercy, nor about His forgiveness. This is where the new covenant is better than the old. The new covenant is founded upon much better promises. Every one of the shortcomings of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant are met in the promises of the new covenant. In the new covenant, the person finds the glorious promise, number 16, of power and strength in the inner man. Maybe I shouldn't say it this way. Don't tell the Lord that you can't break a habit. You're right, but you can break it through Jesus Christ. Don't tell the Lord that you can't not stop drinking and smoking and all those other things. You can do it through Jesus Christ. Of God's personal acceptance which brings eternal life. There's only one kind of life. Eternal life. Of personal knowledge and fellowship with God. I'm going to ask you a very sobering question. Don't you want a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Can I get an amen? Or would you rather stay adrift? Hebrews chapter 2 says this, how shall we, Brother Bruce and others, how shall we escape if you neglect so great salvation? The word neglect means, it's a nautical term, it means you just let it drift away. No more Bible reading, no more prayer, no more talking to other Christians, no more meditation in the Word. That's how you drift from the Word of God. Of God's love and mercy. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but the more you see the Son of God hanging on that cross for you and me, the more you fell in love with Him. Can I get an amen? I think I'm going to change the schedule a little bit, and I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 5. I better read it from the other version so I can stay in tune with you. Romans chapter 5. It's found on page 121. I want you to notice the tremendous verses here. Therefore, having been justified by works, how about that? I just changed it. No, you can't be justified by your works. Therefore, having been justified by faith, let me ask you again, have you placed your faith in the finished work of the Lamb of God? Therefore, having been justified, say justified. Justified. Say it louder, justified. Justified. It means to acquit. It means to be declared righteous. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character. That's what God is trying to do to some of us today, including me. Don't you know that tribulation brings about perseverance? Can I get a witness? It's all in the business, not all in the business, but one of the things that God wants to do with you and me is to clean us up. And He can only do it if He allows us to pass through trials and tribulations. If anyone tells you that the Christian life is a piece of cake, you tell them the truth. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because, this is my verse, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8. But God demonstrates His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. I'm going to say it again. Christ didn't wait for you to get cleaned up. Christ didn't wait for you to stop doing this or that. Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. That's a new covenant. Number 17. For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. But now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as He is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. How about so much better than the angels? So much better a covenant? How about so much better than the angels? God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Now, I know some of you have already heard this, but I'm going to say it again for those who don't know. That word, world, is the Greek word aion. Sometimes we say eon. Now, I'm going to read this again. In these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the aeon. That word aeon means ages. In other words, Jesus Christ created the ages. And if He created the ages, He must have been before the ages. That's why He can say it. I know you've heard it again, and I don't mind saying it again. Before Abraham was, I am. This is the person who enacted the better covenant, the great I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the fairest among 10,000, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. This is indeed the enactor of the better covenant. And you ought to wake up sometime in the morning and say, Hallelujah! What a Savior! Why is it so quiet in here? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
How can you not appreciate, deeply love the Creator, not a creation, the Creator? I'm looking at that sign over there. For to us a child is born, but the Son, I could put, but the Son is given. God gave His very best. In the last days has spoken to us in His Son. Has God spoken to you yet? Do you hear the voice of God? If you're like me, no, I'm not going to say it like that. I'm going to turn to the Word. I want you to turn to Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. I'm going to start with 27. All things. I better wait for a second. Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Did you get that? No one knows the Son except the Father. The Son is so transcendent beyond human comprehension that no one knows Him but His Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. How is it that the only one who fully, epinosko, who fully knows the Father is the Son? That's because the Son is infinite also. What do you mean by that, Brother Bruce? He shares the nature of His Father. And anyone, look at the next part, verse 27. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal. Don't you know who Jesus is has to be revealed to you? It doesn't come naturally. It has to be revealed to you. Who? By the Holy Spirit. Verse 28. Come to me. Think it through. He doesn't say come through me. He says come to me. This is Jesus talking. All who are weary. Did you ever get weary, ladies and gentlemen? Did you ever get heavy burden, heavy laden? Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. He'll reach down into your soul and your spirit, and He'll give you spiritual rest. That's the better covenant. 19. And He is the radiance of His glory. What do you mean by that, Brother Bruce? Jesus Christ is the radiance of His Father's glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. And for you who have already heard this, I don't apologize. He's got the whole universe in His hands. When He had made purification of sins, He did something. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. For you who already know this, I apologize. For you who don't, it may be new. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he could never sit down. But when Jesus made a purification for your sins and mine, He sat down. What do you mean by that? It was complete. It was finished. Verse 4. Having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today have I begotten you"? He never said, the implication is, he never said that to an angel. Can I get an amen? Why do you keep impressing upon this on us, Brother Bruce? Because he is worthy. He's worthy. I think I'm going to end this. I want you to go back. This is not in your notes. I want you to go back, if you will, to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5. Verse 9-13. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy." Can you say worthy? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, "To him who sits on the throne," and I'm not trying to trick you, that's Jehovah God, "and to the Lamb," that's Jesus Christ, "be the blessing and the honor and the glory and dominion forever and ever." Let me ask you, who did they worship? The Son and the Father. I can't say it any more than that. I get overwhelmed when I see this is the person who died for your sins. And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Do you worship Jesus? Oh, I can't worship him. He's just a prophet. He was a good model. You got the wrong Jesus. You don't have the Jesus of the Bible. You have a figment, if I may say, you have a figment of your imagination. But even if you say he's a figment of your imagination, he died for you. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, verse 6, "Let all," say "let all." Not all, not some, all the angels of God worship him. So God says you, or the angel that is, are to worship his son. I'm not going to read the next part. I'm going down to 21. They will perish. Who's the they? Heaven and earth. I know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But you remain. And they all will become old like a garment. And like a mantle, you will roll them up like a garment. They will all be changed. Say changed. I'm intervening right here. Are you changed? Are you the same person you were last year? Are you still dead in trespasses and sins? But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. 22. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. I'm going to end it by saying this. Maybe I shouldn't say end. If you could come to God on your own terms and He would accept you on your goodness and everything else that you thought pleased God, there was no need. It was tragic for Jesus to go to the cross. The new covenant eliminates the weaknesses of the first covenant. Why is that? Because you have a better mediator. You have a perfect mediator. So much so that He wants to dwell within your heart and within your soul and turn your whole life around, pointing to a fellowship with Him and His Father. I hesitate in saying this, but for those who hear the word of God and reject it, there's coming a day that every knee is going to bow. Things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And everyone's going to confess, whether you want to or not, that Jesus is Lord. Now I'm going to warn you, and I warn you in love, to reject the Son of God and what He's done for you is to pass a sentence upon yourself. Either you're going to bear your own sins, or He bore them. And if you're going to bore your own sins, it's going to take forever. And you'll be conscious, and you'll remember that various preachers tried to tell you there's an eternal consequence for those who reject the Lamb of God. But on the other hand, I'm going to end with this. When Stephen was being stoned, Acts chapter 7, for his testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to try to make this contrast. When Jesus died for your sins and rose again, He sat down. But when Stephen was being stoned, the Lord Jesus stood up. It's like saying, welcome home, Stephen. And for every Christian, Jesus says, you'll stand up and say, welcome home. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm done.